the 10 principles of geology, according to Genevieve. These are the things that, gosh, if you just have them in the back of your mind, they're so basic that sometimes we don't even teach them when we're teaching earth science. It's helpful. The first is, principle number one, the earth is dynamic and is constantly changing. What a gift to give to your students, to your family, to yourself, is to recognize that things are changing around you. And some things change slowly and some things change fast. Basically, there are two sets of changes going on. Changes that are driven from within Earth, those tend to be tectonics. Changes that are driven from the outside of Earth, those tend to be erosion and deposition, driven by energy from the sun. So when you're looking around you, know that every feature that you see was brought to you by a combination of tectonics and erosion deposition, and things are changing. This lecture will not go into tectonics. There will be other opportunities to listen to this. Principle number two, the present is the key to the past. The past is the key to the present. The past is key to the future. The present is key to the future. There are a whole bunch of keys. The idea being that as earth scientists, we look for quote-unquote analogs. So if we see poorly sorted, meaning different sizes, well-rounded, meaning don't have edges, deposits in the geologic record, we say to ourselves, does this remind us of anything? We can say, yeah, this reminds us of stream beds. So we look at today's stream beds to see if we can spot stream beds of the past. For example, they're great places to look for uranium. And we use today's analogs to figure out the processes. But we also look at the past to figure out things like how fast the Earth changes climate. So the present is the key to the past. The past is the key to the present. And if you learn the rules matter. So you can kind of figure things out all the time. So that's principle number two. Principle number three, the vast length of geologic time is, I think, impossible to understand unless you work for the Congressional Budget Office and understand millions, billions. You don't have to understand trillions. There's just too spacious. So as a sweeping generalization, and this is sort of more Genevieve than book stuff, we think of deep time as being that which is recorded by bedrock. Bedrock is the firm, coherent, continuously attached portion of Earth's crust. I think of sort of recent time. And recent is a technical term, but I'm not using it that way. Recent time as the sediments. The sediments are the loose stuff that you could dig with a bulldozer. They've been laid down by deposition, so erosion, transport, deposition. And as I teach earth science, I think recognizing deep time versus kind of our time is helpful to students. And today I'm not going to follow one of my rules. We're going to be jumping back and forth between deep time and sort of shallow time. But recognize that as a sweeping generalization, when I'm teaching, I'm either teaching in deep time and looking at bedrock, or I'm teaching the more recent stuff. I don't generally mix and match the two. But today's lecture is going to be about older than, younger than. Principle number four. When we discuss Utah in the geologic past, what I'm referring to is what will become the state of Utah. So I'm not saying that I'm just looking at this sort of latitude and what happened at this latitude in the past. I'm saying, where were the rocks that are now in Utah when we look at the past? That was not meant to be confusing. Let me see if the people who listen to that think it was. So where was Utah in the geologic past? Well, we call it continental drift, and, you know, I'm not that old, but when I was in grad school, continental drift was really fresh stuff. We didn't know where these continents had been. We just knew that we have fresh crust of the oceans, and we got sort of older crust on the continents, and things seemed to be wandering, and we could look at their magnetism, and we could look at a whole bunch of things, and we could figure out where they'd been when they were older and where they are sort of now. And, for example, Utah, 400 million years ago, was south of the equator and near sea level. And more recently, we're north of the equator and we're not near sea level. And tectonics drives that. So once again, this idea that when I talk about the history of a place, for example, when I talk about the history of, I could do Mount Timpanogos. I'm not sure I'm going to do that today. I'm saying, when I talk about the rocks of Mount Timpanogos, I'm saying, where were they in the past? And then it's as though we've ridden with them to Timpanogos today. I bet you get that. And in terms of how much of a geologic record Utah has, the Earth, you know, think about the Earth, sort of 4.5 billion years ago, we start having a crust. Utah's geologic history pushes back to about 3 billion years. For Lake Bonneville, we're dealing 30,000 years ago was before Lake Bonneville. That's nothing. 15,000 years ago, Bonneville was at its height. That's no time at all. And of course, now we have Great Salt Lake. So we're dealing with major changes of time. Principle number 5. Utah today. This wouldn't be Utah today. This could be said of anywhere today. We could say South America today. We could say Europe today. We could even look at the oceans, Hawaii today. We could see that not every place is being affected by the same geologic processes. So, for example, South America. It should not bother you that there are the Andes on the western side, and there's the Amazon on the eastern side. Don't try to have all of Utah have the same environment geologically throughout its geologic past at a given time. So, for example, when dinosaurs were roaming Utah, there were mountains across Salt Lake County, not the Wasatch. These were big mountains. And there were swamps out in Carbon County. So don't try to have the state all be the same. And today we have 3 physiographic provinces. That would be regions based on their landforms. We have the Colorado Plateau, we have the Basin Range, and we have the Rocky Mountain physiographic provinces. And the reason that they're different is they've had different geologic paths. And I'm not going to go into the differences of the geologic provinces today, but I want you to realize that different places will have different stories. So, how are we going to tell what they are? I think I'm going to start a new lecture on just the principles of older than and younger than. Let me first see whether I've covered. So I do think this is a good time to end this sort of overview lecture on principles. The next one is going to be older than, younger than, the rules for that. Over with this track.